Welcome to the round six Supercoach Coach podcast. We're back with Mark or FB Donkey. Welcome back to the show, mate. It's great to have you on for another regular season show.
I think I'm in the wrong place. I thought I was here for the Game of Thrones review show.
Oh, you're very jealous, mate. You've just watched it and thankfully haven't shared any spoilers because I'll be watching it later tonight.
So, listeners, I will just litter the rest of the show with spoilers. Just for Marcus. Nah, I won't actually do that. I couldn't do that to someone. Yeah, pumped for Supercoach, mate.
Yeah, I could see you not doing it for someone, but just like doing it specifically to me. So, thankfully, the listeners are listening to and keeping you honest. We're also fresh off the lockout, mate. The game ended for Easter Monday, Hawthorn Geelong, only a couple of hours ago. So it's very, very fresh in our memories at the moment. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how much you love your footy, for Supercoaches, a bit unfortunately, we've got a couple of games on the Wednesday night, I think. Was it one game or a couple of games?
One, I think, on the Wednesday night, and then straight into it on the Thursday, Anzac Day, which will be massive.
Yeah, so a really, really short turnaround, which is why I wanted to record this episode straight after Monday night to give you guys as much time to listen to the show before Wednesday's lockout. I think a few things are going to be fairly raw, obviously, but we've still had most of the games played by Sunday and we have a decent idea of what we need to have a chat about. So, we'll get into it, mate.
All right, let's do it. Start off with my ranking for the week.
Kick it off.
22.03 for me this week. Jumped up to about 5,000, just outside the top 5,000. Captain Gorn, which went pretty well. Zach Merritt was awesome again for my team. Just didn't quite get the rookies right. Lost a few points there, and I guess everyone did. Some rookies were awesome this week, some not so great, but pretty happy to just keep moving up a little bit in the rankings. How about you?
I scored 21.81, so unfortunately you beat me. Moved up slightly in the rankings as well, so I'm sitting at 12,350th, which I'll still take. Continue to stuff up the rookie lottery every single week, so if anyone thinking that we have better insight into that, unfortunately and frustratingly, I certainly don't, but that's okay. We did touch on that briefly last week. We'll just do a quick group update before we get into the show. The top score for our Patreon group this week is Dusty Miller with a score of 23.30. Unfortunately, that's not going to move him up into that top spot for our Patreon group prize for the top scoring round of the year. But still a massive score nonetheless, 2,300 plus this week would have been really, really good. In terms of the points leader for the Supercoach Coach Patreon group overall, we have a new leader, and that's Christopher's team, the Sports Scientists. He scored 21.77, moved himself up into 298th, and is currently leading our Patreon group in the hot seat for the $250 group prize overall. All right, let's get into some questions. And really, I think I'm going to spend a bit of time starting off with the rookies. We've got a question here from Jesse Turner, one of our patrons, asking for our thoughts on this round's bubble boys and whether or not it is too early to start culling and starting that upgrade cycle. So last week certainly was too early. Some people may have traded because they wanted to bring in some top rookies like a Riley O'Brien type.
Or a stack.
Mm-hmm. But it was certainly too early to be upgrading or downgrading in earnest. But this week, with three price increases already under our belts, that's enough to potentially go up, 150K and start culling some bubble boys or potentially plays that started off a little bit more expensive like Sam Collins. So thoughts on starting early? It is a little bit early in terms of the upgrade cycle, mate. Where's your head with that?
My head is that I have some rookies that I'd really like to bring in, but I don't really have any mids or forward rookies that I'm ready to get willing to get rid of. So that makes things a little bit tricky, and that's what's going to be sort of on my mind most of the week is who, like, even if I like some of these rookies coming in, who is going to potentially be going out.
And certainly was a big driving reason why I didn't proceed with trading Stack in last week. I thought I actually am pretty tempted by Ross. He scored, he had 25 disposals in his first game and a bit of an all-rounder and plays in the midfield as well. And I was worried about the trade-out targets, which is ultimately why I didn't end up trading last week. So I can certainly relate to that. My options for a trade-out target this week, unfortunately, are very similar to last week. So even if I trade out a rookie for a Ross type, it's likely going to be, you know, a Parker a little bit too early, a set of field because he's still suspended. It's not great options, unfortunately.
No, it's not all. Even Bolter, who's just finally actually scored above 40, which was pretty awesome. But yeah.
Oh, went up in price. Hallelujah.
You've got like Willem Drew. He just scored 100 on the weekend. You're not getting rid of him. Constable still has a low break even. Walsh is going absolutely bananas still. Zach Butters had that low.
Gibbo.
Gibson. Gibbons doing really well. Zach Butters looked amazing on the weekend, even though he'd had the 21 or whatever the week before. Dersman's still doing okay, yeah. So except for like maybe Collins, there's not a lot to go out at the moment.
If I'm being frank, when I look for an early upgrade target or downgrade target, if I'm trading a rookie out early, I basically want them to be 250 plus, and so that's going to rule out a whole bunch of people immediately. It's going to rule out people who scored massively as well most recently. So Drew is a prime example. The players that I start to end up looking at are Sam Collins. He's at 301K. And you could definitely see him going up to high 300, so like 380. But at 300K, you're getting 200K from your downgrade. You're not squeezing the most out of him, but he's that sort of candidate I'd look at in terms of an early trade-out target.
Okay.
His break-even's 43 this week off the back of a 45, which is a little bit poor. He's shown a propensity to throw in a low game. This is his second low game after scoring the 20s in the first round. Yeah. So he's one that I'm certainly looking at. We got a few questions about him. Thoughts about Collins out?
It's tricky because he does seem like the sort of guy that if you trade him out, he could easily put in a...
Burn you, for sure.
Well, yeah, he could easily get up to 400K. He could be someone that you keep in your side for quite an extended period. I think as a key defender, even with the key defender premiums, they have these low-scoring games, but scored a few 80s in there as well. So, like, I'm a bit worried about trading him out, but because he's at that price, he may be... one of the earlier candidates, mate.
Yeah, well, if you look at his average a little bit more critically, like, yes, he has scored three big scores, but you have to keep those poor scores in mind when you evaluate him as a whole. And when you look at Scrimshaw averaging 72, Dersma averaging 69.6, and Collins actually averaging 64.8, and then him being at the highest price point of the three, all of a sudden maybe that changes the equation slightly.
Yeah, I think that I'd back him in to have the highest average going forward, though. Just seems to have the game for it, mature age, best of marking.
So I guess a question to go along with that is, are you potentially looking at two trade-outs this week? So starting a downgrade-upgrade cycle this week, or are you just looking potentially at one downgrade to bring in a Ross type, but you know, only starting that true upgrade cycle in earnest next week? Where's your head at with that in the early days, obviously?
Yeah, well, I guess that's where it gets tricky, right? Because even, say, Collins down to Ross is about 180. That's not necessarily going to give you enough for an upgrade. And you're looking at which rookie you're going to trade out. Well, which rookie you're going to upgrade? So, yeah, we're not quite there yet. And to be honest, I actually really like Ross. I like Baker. I like Haitley. It's like there's a few other guys around rookies coming through that I do really like, and Haley's that bit more expensive. So, yeah, it's really tricky if you're not getting full value, but then you want these players that may be around during the buys or may be able to make you a crap ton of money. I don't think I'd be in a position to be upgrading this week. After today's game, I think Tim Kelly is someone I'd have my eye on for sure.
Yeah. Oh, after last week putting in an absolute stinker and then this week having one of his biggest scores maybe in his career ever. I think last year he hit 110s fairly regularly, but I always questioned his ceiling. And you saw in the first three games that his ceiling definitely looked higher, but he was still only averaging, you know, 100 plus each of the first three games. So definitely the coaches that brought him in, especially if it was before the 39, would take some solace in that. And maybe some of those Heaney to Kelly swappers won't feel so bad because...
No, they should still feel terrible. Like, they might not feel twice so bad this week, but they should still... Moosey, if you're listening, you should definitely feel pretty bad about that one.
All right, well, maybe let's talk about some of the trade-in targets then, because I think I agree with you. I might be looking at an excuse to bring in a Baker or a Ross, but certainly not doing two trades this week. unless I really saw a really tempting trade-in target as a cheap upgrade. So we'll get to that shortly. But in terms of the rookie trade-in targets, you've already referenced two of them who are on the bubble this week, and Haitley, who on debut and was a fairly highly rated youngster that a lot of people were going to start if he was named round one, scoring 95. So let's start with the two bubble boys, Baker and Ross. Baker's price is $162,000, so he's a little bit more expensive. He's 21 years of age, so he spent a bit of time in the system, more mature than Jack Ross, who's basically a 19-year-old fresh-faced kid. Ross had a really, really good start in game one with 25 disposals. In the second game, Mark, I asked for your thoughts on Ross briefly over Facebook, and you said he looked a bit tired at the end of the second game. Baker, though, has managed two pretty damn solid scores. He's averaging 89 across his first two games. I guess the question mark is he worth paying that extra dosh for, especially if you're trading out a guy who you reckon has a bit more time to mature in price? So, you know, if you were trading a Parker or a Setterfield or Butters out for him, you're not getting much change at all from a 160K player. Is he going to be worth that extra 50K? And is that the right thing to do when we're trading out players that, you know, really need a bit more time to hit their peak?
Yeah, that's really tricky, isn't it? Not really is the short answer. It's not really worth trading them out for someone like Baker. I guess his job security is not locked in, but then if you look at his scoring, what he's done, 89 and 91 or something, like if he was keeping anything near that average, like even like an 80 or a high 70s or something average, that'd be an awesome pick at that price and totally worth the trade-in. I don't think he's really going to do that, but he's looked awesome the first couple of weeks, and he is a second-year player.
He's a second-year player, but I think, was he also drafted 1 year late? Like, he missed out on his draft year, so he's actually, he's 21, so whereas Ross is straight out of the system. Now, I guess, did you watch much of the Richmond games? Because he's a small forward, right? That's the other question mark I have. So you could have a small forward average 89 over a couple of games, but also then fall off a cliff. They did beat Port, and then they had a win again on the weekend.
Yeah.
So that could be another consideration.
Yeah, but I don't think he was playing the traditional sort of forward pocket. He was playing more of a high half forward sort of roly kick.
Richmond style.
So he kicked one goal in each game. So not really relying on the goal kicking for his scoring. And he did attend a few centre bounces. So his tackle numbers weren't huge, mainly just possession, contested ball, really good first couple of games. I guess if you don't see Richmond keeping on winning, that could be an issue. I think it's really hard to pay 165 for someone. I actually really like him. If he was 115, he'd be into my team for sure. Even at 165, I'm tempted. It's just realistically, I'd be manufacturing something. Maybe I don't have the trades to be manufacturing a trade like that.
Yeah, look, I would really like to bring him into my team, but I don't see him as a super viable target. I think the exception I'd make to that is if you're overexposed on rookies up forward and you think he's going to help your scoring on field, then he's probably just about worth it. But for me, I've got one forward spot on field in terms of a rookie player, and I intentionally did that because I was not confident in the rookie scoring. So even if I brought Baker on, I don't really know where I'd play him because that's kind of Drew's spot. So some people I saw started the year with a three rookie on field forward line. Some people had two and still have two. So maybe if you're taking a Parker out, then you might consider Baker in as a more serious trade-in candidate.
Maybe, but I think the Parker is already his first two games were almost the same as what it was what Baker's thrown up. So Baker could turn out to be exactly the same as Parker, and you're swapping it for 50,000.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Ross then. I think Ross, on the other hand, is a bloke that, like, last week I thought I really want to lock this bloke away. Pick in the 40s, but a really balanced player, like inside and outside, tackles hard, gets a fair bit of the pill. Like, it just seems that type of super coach midfielder that you want in your team. 117K is brilliant. Like, it ticks every single box basically, but the one concern I have is he's in the team basically because Trent Cotchin's out, and when Cotchin gets back in, does he stay in? Does he stay with as lucrative of a role as he has today? It's a job security and role question marks I have on him more so than him as a player.
Okay. Yeah, there's reasons to be concerned there. I mean, Jack Graham was dropped on the weekend, and pretty sort of similar midfield spot. Cochin comes back in. Is there a role for Ross? Personally, I think that there is a role for Ross. And one thing that hopefully I think Hardwick will know is that we've seen it from a few sides this year is you inject some youth into that team and it can actually make a huge difference to how that team goes. So I think that some of these guys will be able to hold their spots. And super impressed by Ross. He really faded in the second half on the weekend, but I mean, it's his second game of AFL. I think that's pretty standard, really, for that to happen after a big first week as well. So, yeah, I'm pretty pumped about Ross, even with Cochin out. And I guess he doesn't have to play for the rest of the season. I reckon he looks pretty good, though. It's just a matter of, again, like I've got Walsh, Constable, Butters, Atkins and Bailey Scott. None of them are ready to go. So I may end up having to pass on both these Richmond guys this week, especially with, well, you've really got to consider that Haitley, I know he's a bit more expensive and we're not talking about him yet, but he's got 95 on the weekend.
Must have, I reckon. Like, and that's why I didn't trade Stack in last week because I thought I'm probably going to do Ross and Haitley in the following 2 weeks.
I can't even find a spot for Haitley. Yeah. So if I find a spot for Ross, I might be really, really struggling to find a spot for Haitley. So I guess that I'm probably just going to have to hold.
Okay, because my question was going to be, like, is Ross a must-have then? Because we're talking so glowingly about him, and he's 117K.
Yeah. Well, so if he's a must-have, then there's two paths for me to get him, basically. One is Zach Butters, who has only made about 100,000 since his starting price. And
that's okay, though.
Looked awesome. And look, his one-touch handling on the weekend was just so impressive. I really like him as a player. And his scoring has been really good, except for that one poor week. He has a break even of 51, so he sort of may have peaked for a little while, but I think longer term he's good to have in the side. I got Bailey Scott, who has a positive break even, so maybe he's not great to keep, but he's only 170,000.
If I were you, I'd be thinking Butters out this week. Atkins is at 206, but he'll go up because he's had a couple of decent games. Trade him out next week for Haitley. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going too aggressively on it, but maybe I also have a different perspective because I've only used one trade. So I'm on 29 going, like, some of these rookies I want to go fairly aggressively on. Also because when you hit up these rookies early on, they help buffer the fact that you get some rookies in early who then hit a level of maturity to trade out just before the buys as well. Like, it is nice to have an injection of rookies at varying stages that appreciate in price. But I suppose you brought in Riley O'Brien and stuff, which I don't have. So maybe that's less of a concern for you.
Did you not bring O'Brien in? Oh,
no.
We were having some fun discussions late last week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did make the move to bring O'Brien in, and I just can't keep sideswapping into good rookies to try and make money. So at some point I have to put a stop on that, and I don't think I can do Atkins and Scott to Ross and Haitley. I think that's pretty poor trading.
So Haitley over Ross then, even though Haitley's at 150?
It's tricky. I think that there's a bit of talk that Haitley is in there for Callan Ward because Callan Ward has left and there's a spot and Haitley was so highly rated preseason. And I agree with most of that stuff. So going to be, I think that it doesn't feel right to trade for Ross this week in my team and my current setup. So I'll probably wait for Haitley and see. In your spot, not grabbing O'Brien last week, I think that's a really different spot.
Yeah. All right. So I think for anybody who hasn't traded too hard or traded to bring in rookies early on, who has some flexibility in the team, I think Ross is a really good pick. But otherwise, if you're in Mark's spot, then potentially you might be one of those candidates waiting for Haitley 1 week down the track and finding a better downgrade option. So I think that's a decent spot to land on, Mark. Let's move on to away from the rookies, unless you had any other sort of players or thoughts on that?
No, that was good, mate.
All right, awesome. So let's move to some potential trade out targets now. This first one's from David on Facebook asking about what to do with Sheed for owners of him. Now, his role has clearly changed since Gaff has come back into the team and the coach has basically said as much that he's their best mid forward and he's going to be spending more time up forward. Now, if that admission is basically him not being able to realize true premium status, is this the week to cut your losses now?
Well, yeah, it's unfortunate because he started so unbelievably hot and then had that game against the Pies where he played the forward role and His scoring was masked a fair bit because he got the three goals. And I think on the weekend he had 27 touches and actually probably played a bit more midfield on the weekend. So I'm not totally sure, just because he probably played some more midfield on the weekend and got those touches. But it's hard for me to say. I mean, pre-season I said I wouldn't be taking Sheed because I think Gaff's going to come in and I think that's going to affect his role. And look, that's basically what's played out. So I don't want that to be an I told you so. I just want it to be like it's hard. Like I would be jumping off ship because I wouldn't have gone there to begin with. But what do you reckon?
Yeah, I guess I'm in the similar boat as you. So we're both not as hot on him. Yeah, I don't want to go too much into, you know, playing Captain Hindsight. So, I honestly would look at trading him out. The question that we got specifically from David extended a bit further to say, do you downgrade to a rookie this week? Like, do you actually do the Sheed to Ross trade if you didn't have a beneficial downgrade elsewhere like you're looking at, Mark? And then looking at upgrading maybe next week or in a different line? Or would you be looking to trade Sheed straight out to, you know, another mid-pricer type or premium type? Like Libba is 45K more at the moment.
Well, Rocky's the same price then. So look, I think that if you're treating him as a mid-pricer, there's a few different ways to go about it. If I was making a midfield trade this week, I would probably do the Ross trade I'd probably do like into a rookie, especially if I didn't have money to be upgrading that spot. I wouldn't be bringing in Libra at nearly 500,000. There's no way I would do that. But I'd be pretty tempted to bring Rockliffe in for 450. Rockliffe's only averaged 104, but he did get concussed in one game. He seems like he could be a full-blown premium at 450, and it feels like you're just correcting a mistake, and maybe that's not the way to go. So preference for me would be bring in Rockliffe, trade to a rookie, and if you had a bunch of cash, I guess you could bring in someone like a Josh Kelly from the Giants.
The 90 for you isn't concerning?
Not really. Had a slow start, slow first half, good second half. I just think that's Rocky, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I just don't know. At 490, are you better off just trading to like a full-blown premium? Because he doesn't have that much value left in him.
So Rocky's 450.
Oh, 450, not 490. Sorry.
Yeah, because he had the concussion game. He's only 450.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, look, I don't mind that. I think the other thing you could look at doing is trading down to Ross if you didn't have another Ross trade in target and then looking for some value elsewhere. I know Crisp is pretty cheap in the back line. Laird is pretty cheap in the back line, both top six defenders from last year. And the forward line, there's some players that have dropped a fair bit in cash as well. You could look at bringing TK in next week. So if you're not happy with the trade to Rockliffe and you can't manufacture a situation to bring in a true premium in that spot, at 450, there are slightly easier trade in potential premium targets in the back line and forward line. And with Ross available this week, that's a pretty decent option as well.
Yeah. It'd be nice to start actually doing some upgrades, mate, and bring some new premiums into my team.
Yeah, look, I was looking at it this week, but I think, you know, off what you said before too, I think maybe next week might be a bit more optimal. But having said that, you know, for people with 100K or 150 left in bank just sitting around after some side swaps, maybe it's a good opportunity to start this week.
Yeah, I've got 89 sitting there.
Wow. Yeah, I've got 7,000, so I'm a bit of a pauper, unfortunately, at the moment.
That's why you missed our boy Riley, who scored 90 on the weekend. And
I don't want to hear about this.
What's his break even? Still in the negatives, isn't it? Pretty negative. Yeah, 9 negative 48. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, maybe Zach Clark might be my Riley O'Brien down the track. Who knows?
I think you're forgetting about something. Joey is back.
Joey, yeah.
Joey is back. We will never see Zach Clark again.
Yeah. All right, I got a question here from at Dylan and then a whole bunch of numbers on Twitter. Is it worth bringing in Tim Kelly if he's going to get tagged most weeks? And I'm assuming he sent that question before the end of the Geelong game. But how highly do you think we should be targeting Tim Kelly for those coaches that don't have him for next week's trade period?
That's a really tricky one, and I think that raising the issue of the tag is a really important point because the way that he played in those first three quarters first half in particular, he will get the tag. He is the most taggable from Geelong. Geelong seemed to want to rotate their mids a fair bit, and Selwood talked about that post-game where he's going to play some time on the ball, sometime not on the ball, and he's going to have to do multiple roles and be in multiple positions, and Danger does that and Ablett does that. There's a few that do it, but it seems like Kelly will probably spend most of the time in the middle, but he also seems probably the most taggable out of all those guys. So, and is looking like he's going to be super damaging. So if I was playing Geelong and I had a tagger in my side, I'd probably send it to Tim Kelly. So that definitely worries me. He showed last week that maybe he's not great at handling the tag. I'm worried about that, but then his scoring potential looked amazing as well. So I'm a bit up in the air at the moment. And because I'm not bringing him in this week, at least I get another chance to look at him.
Yeah, I also agree with that. I think, though, at his current price point, especially the 39 cycling around there, it's probably worth taking the risk. Like, he's not priced to average like full premium numbers. He's basically averaged his price average around 94. Yeah. So I feel like that helps out with a lot of the risk of a potential tag. Remembering that, like, there's still some great people in the Geelong team that teams might look to tag ahead of Tim Kelly as well, even though he's probably more susceptible to the tag.
There is. Yeah, and I did, like, who else are you going to tag? Like, Danger, but they'll just chuck Danger in the forward line.
His break-even is 117, so if you were very confident, you could actually potentially bring him in this week, but it's not the worst idea waiting an extra week, because if you got it tagged again next week, scored another 30, that definitely changes the equation, right? So
I think he shares the bye week as well with, obviously, Danger, but Heaney as well, so that makes things a bit tricky up forward.
Yeah, fortunately enough, all three of them have forward mid flexibility, so you can try and hide them in the forward line if you need. But yeah, no, definitely a relevant consideration there, Mark. Next question. This one's from Shannon Swan, one of our patrons. He's asking about Walters. He's had, I think, 4 tons in the last 5 games now. So many of the players I started with last year who I were like, oh, I better not pick them again this year because I will be repeating my mistakes. But Libba, Rockliffe, Billings, Walters, they're just killing it this year. So brings me some joy, but also makes me very frustrated that I got them the wrong year. Do you think Walters is sort of having a temporary resurgence, or can he keep this up in Neil's absence?
Personally, I don't trust him. I wouldn't go there. I can see why people would. Great start. Freo have surprised a few. Did not expect them to beat the Giants on the weekend. What a awesome win that was. I don't see it with Walters personally, but I can understand why people do. I guess, like, injury history is a concern. Never had a premium season is a concern, considering his, like, 15th season or whatever it is, 12th season. Not for me, but I know what you mean with the players that you've picked previously. Remember, like, was it 2 years ago that I was all over Daniel Rich as a defender and staked my whole season on it, basically?
We both did that, sadly.
Yeah, and that just went so bad. But he's looked amazing this year, and I think he's averaging about 100, over 100. So.
Or Hearn. I picked Hearn like 3 years where he just kept pinging his bloody hammy, and now. I think with Walters, especially, his price point has to come into it. 513K means you need to expect him to stay on park and continue to manage this output. So I could see people taking a plunge, but I personally won't be recommending people get on. 56 is his current break even. So if you wanted to get on, this week is definitely the week to do it. Otherwise, sort of start kissing that goodbye.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Next to overrated v underrated, Mark. And we've got a question here from Darren Gaspari asking what to do with Menegola. And we had a few people ask about Menegola. So what do you reckon, mate? Overrated or underrated with Sammy Menegola?
I've always thought Menegola was overrated. I think I've mentioned this in the podcast before. He's proved me wrong the last couple of years. Coming back to earth this year a little bit, maybe, just with all the other talent in the Geelong side.
Yeah, look, he's dropped 75K already, or about 80K at the moment, which isn't great, but it's definitely not too late to reverse your losses. He's had 250s in a row, so his break-even's 170. I think a few things have worked against Menegola, and that's with a few players transitioning into the mid-forward role. And probably the biggest name for that is probably Gary Ablett. I almost feel like he's taken Menegola's role a lot of the time in terms of that link-up play. So sadly, even though he's averaged 95 plus 3 seasons in a row, this year might see him average 90 or 85 instead. Like, I still think he can turn it around to a certain extent. I don't think he's going to stay averaging in the 60s or in the 70s, but potentially, you know, if you can look for an opportunistic side swap, TK is like 30K more. Minigol is probably on the slide and TK is on the rise, could be something to look at. So unfortunately, a little bit overrated, and I got to admit, I got a bit sold into the hype at the start of the season and underrated TK and probably overrated Minigola. Darren asked whether it's worth potentially considering a sideways trade to Warple. He's the guy who's potentially been keeping him up.
Nah. I just wouldn't. It just seems a bit gross.
Like very sideways, right? Because they have similar risk profiles.
Like as sideways as you could get. Yeah, just way too sideways. Warple, awesome, has a really good role. Looks like he'll be playing for the Hawks every week, but he's only scored over 100 twice in 5 games and only just then. So, yeah, that just you want to be, if you're swapping Menegola out, you want to be swapping to a bona fide top 6 on the line. Otherwise, you're just swapping into another player that might frustrate you over the course of the season.
All right, mate, let's wrap up with a quick captain's corner. Now, admittedly, it's only a few hours after the end of the former round, so I'm not too sure how much you may have had a quick peek at it, but hoping you can share a few ideas potentially.
Look, I think that Gorn on the Wednesday night is not the worst vice captain. He's looked all right lately. There's no way I could do Grundy on Anzac Day, even though he's a good chance for the Anzac Day medal. I think that Rockcliffe against North Melbourne for me is the perfect vice captain. And then hopefully I don't need a captain after that. But if I do, it'll be Cripps against the Hawks.
Mm. For anyone still with Bynes or Setterfield, fortunately, they're basically the last two games of the round, both playing Sunday, which means that opens up a whole bunch of vice captaincy options. I think the other one that could be potentially spicy there is Lockie Neal against the Gold Coast Suns.
Agreed, yeah. If I had Neal, I would probably lock that one in.
Otherwise, you could potentially look at a Crouch type against St Kilda. Just threw a few options out there, but I don't think we've had the opportunity to do too much research. So unfortunately, some of you may have to look into some of that yourselves. In terms of a captaincy backup, I suppose Cripps against Hawthorn can't go too wrong. And you've also got potentially Geelong at home at GMHBA against West Coast. So Dangerfield might sort of come into the picture as a potential backup.
Yeah, it's just a bit worried about where Hutchin goes.
Yep. Yeah, that's a fair point. Maybe based on our conversation before it goes to TK.
Yeah, and look, you'd think that even with a tag, Danger will pump out 120 at GMHBA.
But I think Cripps against Hawthorn's a pretty good bet anyway as a backup option. And
yeah, and Rocky against North, I don't reckon I'll need to have a...
Oh, God, please no. All right, mate. Thanks very much for coming on after Game of Thrones and on a Monday night and joining me for the show. I am about to head out for some pizza. I'm actually in Perth on holidays for Easter. So I hope our listeners got a bit out of this. Any final words, mate?
Which main character I reckon dies?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, man. My brain is melting right now. I can't do this. I need to go. I need to go.
Enjoy watching, man. Enjoy.
See you, bud.